episode 3 of the SWB Crawler Cast. Good morning. It's Thursday, December 10th, 2015. We're getting close to Christmas, so everyone's excited, looking forward to Deep Hearts Under the Tree. Personally, being a father, I'm looking forward to giving gifts to my little girls, because I've come to realize what so many other parents have told me over the years, that as you get older, you learn more and more that Christmas isn't so much about receiving gifts or even giving gifts to friends and family, but really, when you have kids, it's all about those kids and the enjoyment that you see on Christmas morning. Brings back so many memories of my own childhood. I'm so glad that I'm able to experience this now. So, on to the podcast. I wanted to give you guys an update. I'm still trying to get the podcast listed on iTunes, but Apple is giving me trouble over, of all things, the SSL certificate that I use on my website, swbcrawler.com. I won't get too technical on you, but they essentially don't like the certificate, so they can't download my podcast episodes, or at least that's what their support tells me. I'm inclined to believe them, because I use a certificate that's free, and that's not always widely accepted, but certificates get expensive sometimes, and, well, to be honest, I've never seen a reason to pay for one up until now. With the storefront going up, and with the podcast now, this may be the final straw. I may just have to break down and buy a commercial certificate. So, here's to that. Yay, technology. What else is going on? I've been... Actually, here's something that I'm looking for some feedback on. So, to the one or two people that might actually be listening to my podcast, if you're hearing this sometime close to the date in which I'm publishing it, and not you're listening to this in, you know, some point in the future, I'm looking for some feedback on a decision I've been wrestling with. So you can give me feedback via Twitter. You can find me at SWBCrawler, or you can find it on Facebook. Just, again, same name, SWBCrawler. Just search us. I believe the URL, facebook.com/SWBCrawler, will get you there. Or you can send me an email, nate@swbcrawler.com. So, as I mentioned in episode 0, I'm driving an 05 LJ, and I have a YJ project in the garage. I wanted to talk a little bit about the state of that project as some background here. So, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, a friend of mine had a YJ just languishing in his driveway. He had pulled a bunch of parts off of it. It had a good frame and a good body. Still had a 2.5 liter in it. No front clip. The seats were pretty useless. They were all rotted out. The dashboard was removed. The top was gone. You know, this was basically a skeleton of a YJ. The 2.5 was running, but it wasn't something I wanted to use. So that came out of it. The transmission, transfer case, he kept those because he had a YJ that he thought they may come in handy for. He kept the front clip and whatnot because, again, he thought he may use them on his YJ. So what I ended up with was a 2.5 liter motor on a decent YJ frame with a decent YJ tub. This is a 90 YJ with the old style roll cage and whatnot. With stock suspension, stock axles, pretty much stock everything that was left. My intention at the time, so I had my 92 still in the garage. That was my crawler, my Islander that I talked about in episode 1, or episode 0. And I also was driving a Dodge Neon. My intention was to restore this basket case YJ to a drivable state. I was going to put a 4.0 in it and probably an NV3550 or some other beefy manual transmission. Maybe a stock transfer case, maybe something else. Revamp the suspension, you know, give it maybe a mild lift, put a new top on it, get some nice comfortable seats, do everything I can to get a YJ as fuel efficient as possible, and then it was going to be basically a replacement for the YJ. For the Neon. I was going to sell off the Neon or whatever, and then I was going to drive that YJ, the restored YJ, daily. My intention was to make it as comfortable as I could for my hour-long commute, and then that would be that. Well, I got the Jeep, and I started to disassemble it, started to pull out the motor and whatnot, and I kept my eye out for a donor vehicle to get all the parts that I was going to need to put in a new transmission, a new motor, and drivetrain, whatever. Started keeping my eyes out for deals on soft tops, because I needed a soft top, and deals on roll cages, because I wanted to get a family-style roll cage put into it. You know, whatever. I started looking for all the pieces that I needed. And I quickly realized that this project was going to be a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be at the beginning. I started making up little spreadsheets of the bare minimums that I was going to need, and I was looking at several thousand dollars. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, if I want a stock YJ, I should just go buy a used stock YJ and not put all this work into one. But then I kept saying to myself, well, this will be a fun project. It might be worth the extra expense. And I wrestled back and forth with that. Then my Neon got destroyed by a hailstorm, and the insurance company totaled it. So they took the Neon, I got a payout, and I used that payout to buy from my father his 2000 XJ, which I drove for a couple of years, and that's when I got the idea that I would sell the Smurf, which was the 92 YJ, and then trade in the XJ and get myself that 13 JK. When I was in the JK, now all of a sudden, it seemed silly to have this YJ that I was going to rebuild into a stock YJ. So I convinced myself that the right thing to do with it would be to build it into a crawler, a rock crawler. And that, because the rock crawler that I had was now gone, I was driving a stock Jeep, which couldn't be a rock crawler, and I had no intentions of ever making that 13JK a rock crawler, because it was just, it was too new. I didn't want to put it through that. So I started down the road of building it into a rock crawler, which again, didn't get very far, because building a rock crawler is even more expensive than restoring a YJ. So in that time, the 5 years that I've owned it, I've taken out the motor, I've stripped off some of the old suspension, the axles are still underneath it, the leaf springs are still there. I cleaned up the body a little bit, I pulled out the dash panel and cleaned it up. I got the body off the tub or off the frame, because my intention was to modify the frame for the rock crawler. The plan, as it sits right now, unless I change my mind, which is the thought that I'm wrestling over at the moment, was that I would cut the frame. Sort of, I believe they call it back halving, where you cut the frame somewhere in the rear half of the vehicle and replace it with a tube or a replacement boxed frame, you know, kit or whatever. Do that, and I was going to put coils under the whole thing. Probably coilovers, if I can swing it. The coilovers are pretty darn expensive, so it may end up being coil springs with shocks. And then, of course, a link suspension. These are all the things that I would love to do to this. But the bottom line is, I still need a drivetrain. I still need axles. I was thinking, after an episode of the High Sierra 4x4 podcast, where they talked about the GM 14-volt, I thought these would be awesome axles to throw onto this thing. I started looking at that, and it looks like to get a good set, you're looking at anywhere from $500 to $1,000. So that's a decent chunk of money. It's a lot cheaper than the Dynatrax that I was dreaming of putting under this, which would have been a ridiculous amount of money. But then the suspension, you're talking $1,500 to get a long arm kit without springs. Then I need to research springs or coilovers, and then I need to get shocks, and I need to modify everything so that all of that will fit. Then I got to get the tub back on it. The thing that I'm wrestling with at the moment is, I have a running Jeep, the LJ, that I'm driving right now as I podcast. Why don't I just take the cleaned up frame and the tub and all the other components that are laying around my basement that I've pulled off of this thing and sell them. Maybe get a couple of grand out of it and use that to put some mild modifications into the LJ and then just wheel it. This thing is solid. It's I've had it off-road once and it performed awesome. Even in stock configuration with just some 31-inch tires. If I could get $2,000 for all the parts that I have laying around, I could put metal cloak fenders on this thing, run 33s, and then start working on gears and lockers. And this thing would be pretty well set up for my daily commute and for some decent trail use. At the end of the day, though, I really had my heart set on building that crawler. So this is why it's such a hard decision. So anybody who wants to give me feedback, send it my way through all the mediums that I mentioned at the beginning of this little rant. I'd be grateful for any feedback. In fact, if you want to give me any feedback on how the show's going, how you're enjoying it, how I could maybe improve things, anything that I could change, let me know. Nate@swbcrawler.com, Twitter @swbcrawler. Or Facebook.com/SWBcrawler. Let me know what you think. Let me know what I could change. This is really nothing without listeners. So if listeners want to tell me things that I could do better or even suggest topics you'd like to hear me ramble on about, feel free. Let me know and I'll see what I can do. So with all that said about the YJ and that project, I thought maybe after going down memory lane about DIYJ, which is what I was calling that project, and what my plans were for it, I thought I might share some of the ideas that I've had for the LJ. So this is my daily driver, and the garage that I park in is relatively low clearance. The LJ has maybe a couple inches of clearance above the soft top and the door, so any changes that I make to this Jeep, I need to consider, A, fuel economy. You know, what effect is it going to have on my 80 miles a day that I drive? B, comfort. This thing has to be drivable, and it has to be comfortable to drive. So I can't go crazy with the suspension. And C, street legality. Pennsylvania is not the strictest state on what's legal to drive on the road, but it is strict enough. There's some crazy flare laws, there's some crazy tire width laws, and there's even bumper height laws, which some inspection mechanics outright ignore because they're almost impossible to enforce. I'm lucky I have a mechanic who's lenient enough that he'll let things like fender flares that don't quite cover the tires pass, but he does a pretty good job of making sure that my vehicle is still safe. If he sees something that is outright unsafe, he calls me on it and makes sure that I get it fixed. So I'm happy to have such a great mechanic. He's also a great sounding board for a lot of the projects I've been working on. So that's cool. So the vision that I've had was to keep the suspension as close to stock as possible. In fact, if I can get away with a stock suspension with maybe some upgraded arms, that might be all I need. But I do want to be able to clear a 33 or maybe 35-inch tire. So my go-to for that is fender clearance. I would love to throw a set of metal cloak, overline, I think they call them, fenders on this Jeep, front and rear, and get their rocker protection. I think that all those things together would put me in a great position to just get this thing out and feel it. And once I'm there, then I can start thinking about things like maybe a high-clearance belly pan, gears and lockers, maybe even axle upgrades. The LJ came stock with a Dana 44 in the rear, but it still has that dinky little Dana 30 in the front. And I don't want to put a lot of money into the 30. I know some people have, and they've had great luck with it. My old crawler had a 30 in the front. I never locked it. All I did was gear it low enough that I could run the tires and whatnot that I wanted to run. I'm really hesitant to upgrade the Dana 30. So it could be that I start looking for some Rubicon axles, or maybe I look for a flat-out junkyard replacement, I don't know. But that's what I'd love to see. I'd love to see the least suspension lift possible, with the largest tires I can fit, and still maintain street drivability. I don't think it's unattainable. I think it's definitely possible. You might call it an LCG build, but I hesitate to do that because that word has so many definitions to so many people that I don't want to tie myself into that and then have someone, you know, call me out on it later and just say, oh, that's not low center of gravity, you should have done this, or that, or whatever. And, you know, I just try to avoid scenarios like that. There's no reason for it. Bottom line is, I want a low Jeep that has a lot of clearance. Which to me sounds like an LCG build, but whatever. So that's that. I guess maybe I'll call this a short episode. I don't have many other topics to chat about. I know this may not have been all that informative for a lot of people, but again, give me some suggestions, and maybe I can address some items that are more interesting to folks. So, with that, thanks for listening.